Amen. Amen. James chapter number 2. Go to verse number 14. James chapter 2, verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Our Father, I pray you'd guide, direct, and bless us. Help us as we study your word to learn from it, and then more than learn from it, I pray that we would live it out, understand it, live it, tell others. And Lord, I pray we'd live to please you in every way. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. James, and you'll remember that this James is not the brother of James, the disciple. He was martyred early on in the book of Acts. This James is the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. He is writing to the Jews who have been scattered, the believing Jews who had been scattered because of the persecution in Jerusalem. And he's reminding them about how they should live since they have been saved. And tells them very plainly, if you say you're saved, it ought to affect the way you live. You ought to live a certain way now that you're saved. What you believe should affect the way you behave. Amen. And he's going through a whole bunch of different things to let them know this is how you believe. This is faith that works. He's talked about trials and testings that we go through and how we're to stand up under them. He talks about the temptations that come to us in life and how we are not to yield to them or give in to them. He's talked about how we are to live the truth and receive the truth and then live it out in our lives. He talked about how we are to treat one another and how the way we behave, the way we believe, affects the way we treat other people. Today, he gets right to the heart of the matter and says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Number one, the problem. The problem. Some have supposed that James contradicts Paul because Paul clearly said that no one is saved, no one is justified by the works of the law. Amen? No one is saved that way. And yet James comes and writes here, faith without works is dead. He said, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Is there a contradiction here between what Paul is saying and what James is saying? And the answer clearly is no, absolutely not. No, of course not. You see, Paul, when he speaks about you cannot be saved by your works, he's talking about justification before God. You cannot come to God in your good works and say, God, I have done enough to be saved. Let me into heaven. That will not work. Clearly, Paul writes, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen. James is speaking about justification before men. How many people can honestly see that you have faith? What do they see? Your works. They see how you live. They see how you act. They see how you speak. They see what you do. And then because of that, they see that you have faith. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus Christ said? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Paul speaks about justification before God. James speaks about justification before men. You see, we are justified by faith, is what Paul says. James says we are justified for works. Amen. But you know something? Paul said the exact same thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But here's something real deep. After Ephesians 2, 8, 9 comes verse number 10, where Paul writes, for we are his workmanship, we are his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. Titus 3, 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And then you look at what he surrounds that by in Titus chapter number 3, it's do good works, do good works, do good works. Remind them to do good works. We're not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. Paul's interest is in the root of justification. James's interest is in the fruit of salvation, the fruit of justification. Calvin said, faith alone saves. But the faith that saves is never alone. Amen? Amen. So there's no problem between what James is saying and what Paul is saying. Those who have been truly saved will do good works. Amen. Number two, the proof. The proof. James shows us here in this chapter three types of faith. He gives us examples of three types of faith and explains them. The first one is dead faith. Dead faith. Look at verse number 14 again. What doth it profit? What good is it, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What good is it? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Dead faith. These are people who substitute words for deeds. They substitute words for deeds. They know all of the right phrases. They know the religious things to say. They know when to smile, when to say amen, when to go ahead and give you a godly sounding phrase or even a scripture verse or two. They know how to say the right things, but their lives don't back up what they're saying. They're smiling to you, saying the right things, and they look, oh, so spiritual. And yet, inside, they are dead because they don't do anything about it. The Pharisees were good at that. Now, we hear the word Pharisee today, and we hear the word hypocrite. We get it, we understand it. But in Jesus' day, when the people saw the Pharisees, they went, wow, they're so spiritual. They're so wonderful. Look at what they say. And Christ said, no, you're full of dead men's bones. You're like whited sepulchers. You're good on the outside. You say the right things. But inside, where it really counts, inside, where it matters, you're dead. You're not living in obedience to the Word of God. Therefore, you are dead. Amen. Understand, good works that we're talking about, these good works that we deal with, that we're talking about, is living a life in obedience to this book. That's good work. That's the good works. When you live in obedience to the Word of God completely, you're showing people you have faith. Amen. That you are truly saved. James illustrates. He says, a poor hungry believer comes into your congregation. A poor hungry believer comes into your midst and you know their situation. You know about them and you tell them, go. Be warmed. be filled. All will be okay. And you have the wherewithal to help them and you don't? What good are your words? Come on, what good are they? What does the prophet? What good is it? James says, it's good for nothing. That's the same way your faith is. If you have faith but don't show it by living a life in obedience to the Word of God, it's empty. It's worthless. It is void. It is dead. It is absolutely of no value. Do you remember the account of the Good Samaritan that Jesus Christ gives? There was a man going from one town to Jericho. On the way, he is robbed, he is beaten, he is left for dead. Who comes walking by but a priest and a Levite? Both of them know the right words to say. Both of them know that they're supposed to live lives a certain way, and yet both of them sidestep this man who was beaten and left for dead and go on. The Samaritan stops and helps him, binds up his wounds, takes him to an inn, sees that his needs are met and pays for them, and says to the innkeeper, if it costs you any more, when I come back through, I'll pay you the rest. Take care of him. Who was really saved? The man who showed it. That's what James is saying. You see, the priest and the Levite, each of them could defend their faith. They just couldn't demonstrate it. So did they really have it? James asks, can that kind of faith really save? Did that kind of faith really save them? If it doesn't affect the way they live, it doesn't change the way they behave, if there isn't a response because of your salvation, did that faith save? And the answer is no. A faith that does not change a life is dead. It is solely intellectual. Only in the head, not in the life. It is dead faith. It is of absolutely no value. The second kind of faith he talks about is demonic faith. Demonic faith. Verse number 19, he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? A little shock therapy here on the church is what James gives them. He says the demons have faith. Demons have faith. Do you know that there is not a single atheistic demon in existence? Not one. Do you know there's not a single agnostic demon? Not one. They all know there's a God. They all understand there is a God. They know who He is. If there was some way we could call the devil up here and interview him right here, right now, you'd be shocked at what he said. Lucifer, do you believe that the Bible is the verbally inspired, inerrant Word of God? You know what he would say? Yes. He believes that it is. Lucifer, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God? Yes, He is. Lucifer, do you believe that Jesus Christ lived a sinless, blameless, spotless life? He did no sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. Oh, yeah. I believe that. I tried to stop it on several occasions, but He lived that kind of life. Lucifer, do you believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for man's sin penalty in full? Yes, I believe that completely. Again, I tried to stop that from happening on numerous occasions. Lucifer, do you believe that Jesus Christ was buried in a borrowed tomb? That tomb was sealed, but on the third day, He arose victoriously, triumphantly, with victory over death, and the grave and hell. Lucifer, do you believe that? Oh, yes, I do. I was there when it happened. I believe every single word of that. Lucifer, do you believe that Jesus Christ is going to return? Yes. He said he would, and he's never lied about anything. I know that for a fact. If he said it, he is going to come back. Wow. He believes. Lucifer, have you ever repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? The answer is no. He believes all of the quote-unquote right things. And yet he's not saved. Do you know there are people who attend church all across our country who think that because they've got a head knowledge of the Bible, that they're saved. Head knowledge does not save. Some people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance from your head to your heart, because they have never repented of their sin, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and been saved. Well, they've got some kind of faith, but because it's not real faith, because it's not true faith, it doesn't change the way they live. It doesn't change the way they behave. There's dead faith, there's demonic faith, and then there's dynamic faith. Dynamic faith. Look at verse number 20 again. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. True saving faith. True repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior always leads to action. Always. It involves the intellect, but it also involves the emotions. It involves the will. You see, the mind understands the truth, the emotion desires the truth, and then the will acts on the truth that has been given. And when all three of them come together, you repent of your sin, trust Christ as Savior, then you are saved. And that kind of dynamic faith changes someone, and they are now become a child of God. Amen. He gives us two illustrations, two Old Testament characters who had this kind of dynamic faith. One was Abraham, the other was Rahab. These were two completely different people. Yet they both had saving faith. They both had dynamic faith. Abraham was a Jew. Rahab, a Gentile. Abraham would be lifted up as a godly individual who sought to please God and follow him. Rahab, a sinful harlot. Abraham, the friend of God. Rahab could be called clearly an enemy of God. Yet both demonstrated they had dynamic faith, they had saving faith by what they did. In Genesis chapter number 15, the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What caused God to put righteousness into Abraham's account? Faith. His belief. His total reliance on God is what God used to put righteousness into his account. And that's how everybody is saved, by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. we receive Christ's imputed righteousness. So in God's eyes, Abraham's believing in him is what justified him. But how do you know he was really saved? How do you know that he truly changed? Well, James says it was in Genesis chapter 22. When God told him, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him upon the mount where I will show you. And Abraham rose up early the next morning to take Isaac and to offer him as a sacrifice to God. The Bible tells us that Abraham went and did exactly as the Lord commanded him to do. He took Isaac. He took the wood. He took the fire. He made sure that he would obey God every step of the way. And by his faith in God, he was showing the world he was justified. He was completely saved. He believed God so much that he knew if he plunged that knife into Isaac's heart, God would raise him from the dead. Amen. That faith, did those works save him? The answer is no. But that work clearly showed what? He was saved. Because a lost individual cannot act that way. Amen. Rahab was in the city of Jericho. Jericho was going to be destroyed. God's people were going to walk around this. The walls would cave in and Jericho would be defeated. The spies were sent. And Rahab heard what was going to happen. She knew that the Lord God of Israel was with Israel. And they knew they were defeated. And so when the spies came in, she took them into her house. She trembled at what God was going to do to others. She trembled at the thought that God was going to judge her city. And so she took God's spies in and she did something about it. She hid them. She helped them escape. She got them back. She lied to the king. Her actions showed what was in her heart. Her actions did not save her. Her good works did not save her. They simply showed what was in her heart. Amazing. Rahab ends up in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Wow. Works did not save her. Her works showed everyone she was saved. Amen. Works cannot save. But without them, you're probably not saved. Charles Ryrie said, faith and works are like a 2-coupon ticket to heaven. The coupon of works is not good enough for passage. And the coupon of faith is not valid if detached from works. I like that. You are not going to get into heaven and say, God, I have done enough to save myself. It's never going to happen. If you get into heaven, it's because you have repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. But if you have repented of your sin and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will endeavor to live a life that pleases your Heavenly Father. Amen. A life of active obedience to the Word of God. Amen. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Spirit of God will always lead the child of God in submission to the Word of God. And without it, you're not saved. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for our salvation, for the fact that Jesus Christ paid it all, that he went to the cross and died in our place, paying our sin penalty in full. Thank you, Father, for that great fact. Help us to understand that in order to be saved, we need to repent of our sin, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save us. And when we do that, we are saved. But you've also said in your word, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if we're truly saved, we'll have a desire to do what is right, a desire to live for you, a desire for good works. Lord, I pray you'd work in every life, every heart, every mind, every soul. Help us to understand, first of all, that we need to be saved. If there's anyone in our midst who has never trusted you as their personal Savior, truly trusted you, truly repented, and in faith trusted Christ as Savior, I pray you'd show them, convict them, let them know they need to be saved. Help them to examine their life. And if there have been no good works, no submission to the Word of God, help them understand they're probably not saved. Show them that clearly, that they might get saved. For those who are saved, encourage us even more to continue on, to live a life of faith, to live a life of obedience, to constantly be growing in how we live for our Lord and Savior. Guide, direct, and bless in every decision that is made right now for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, where are you this morning? You say, Pastor, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and my life backs that up as far as I know. I am saved, and I know that. Put your hand up as a testimony of that fact. You're saved, you know it, put your hand up. Amen, God bless you, that's great. You can put your hands down. Amen, amen, amen. Christian, our lives should be marked by obedience. Our lives should be marked by submission to the Word of God. Not some of it, not most of it, all of it. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to make sure that good works are seen in my life, that people can see that I'm saved by what I do. Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to me today. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Anyone else, just put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. God bless you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. Good works are not a part of my life. I'm not living in obedience to the Word of God. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that, put your hand up, put it back down. Our Father, I pray you'd bless in every decision you have spoken to our hearts. Help us to understand that we are to demonstrate to this world we're saved by what we do, how we behave, how we live, what we say. Help us, Lord, to always bring glory to you by our good works. If there's anyone in our midst who has never trusted you as Savior, again, show them, draw them to you this morning. Bless every decision. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand, grab a hymn book right in front of you, turn to page 390. 390, if God has spoken to your heart, if there's a decision that he wants you to make, verse number one, right now, make that decision. The altar is open if you need to be saved. I'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can know that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Verse number one, right now, you come as we sing. As the piano continues to play, what does God want you to do? He has spoken to your heart. What decision does he want you to make? Make that decision. Make that commitment. Surrender all to Jesus Christ today. If you are saved, good work should follow. If you are saved, your life should be lining up with the Word of God. You may not be perfect, but you're heading in that direction. You're getting more like Jesus Christ every single day. Can you say that? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day to come to Him. Today is the day to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're going to sing verse number 2, as we do, you come. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd continue to work in us, continue to work through us, that we might show this world our good works, that they might glorify our Father in heaven and be drawn to you in salvation. Bless us. Give us a good day. Bring us back safely this evening. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Thank you much. You are dismissed. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll get together again. Join us.